freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Dougie Fista, give you that conversation right now. I'll tell you about Vegas. I tell you about Eric Bedard.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
It really was a challenge yesterday, and every Mariner fan felt it. The combination of paper cuts, noogies, wedgies. It was like a little bit of everything, right? It was like each little bit of uncomfort or discomfort, right? And like some of them were bad and some of them were annoying, and then it all added up to like the worst day of your life.
This can't
and the next
be happening.
Thing you know, Brock, this road trip
this can't
is
be
three
happening.
And seven
yep.
against three bad teams.
Yep.
Now, I will say, those three bad teams played pretty well. I'm not going to just sit here and say, hey, I'm going to give them credit, because the Mariners, no excuse, zero. You're missing your two best players, your two best hitters right now. Okay, fine. That's a little of an excuse. But it is interesting when, you know, they call up these young kids.
Mm-hmm.
They got some dudes. I mean, that's what makes Kansas City and Oakland always, you know, they're going to keep calling up dudes that are interesting and young and may turn into good players one day. You're just supposed to be able to beat them because your players are already there.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
The Kansas City Royals right now may be better than they were 3 months ago. Does
with
that make
these,
sense?
Yeah, with these young players that don't
more
know any
talented.
Different. They just don't know any different either. And
right.
here's their chance to come up, and they don't have a book on me. They haven't studied me. They don't know the holes in my swing as much as they will once I get 500 at-bats or 200 at-bats in this league. They don't know my heat zones. I'm coming up here, and I see ball, hit ball.
Right.
And we have seen that through the years and months of September. Jared Kelnick, a couple of years ago, when he got his first taste, like, wow.
Last year.
This kid's going to be pretty good. And, you know, we've seen guys come up in September. It goes one of two ways. They can either be so overwhelmed and can't play, or there's just ignorance is bliss. You don't know me, and I can go up there and swing out of my shoes.
So that's part of it, but it doesn't explain going 3-7. And certainly the way you did yesterday, blowing a 9-run lead in the sixth inning, is just, it's unforgivable.
Yep.
That being said, it happened. So now you got to snap and clear, right? Move forward. And
I'm not
and
ready. I'm not ready for that yet.
Well, I'm not fully ready, but
I'm
I do
not ready
think
today.
It's I'm Brock.
I need this off day, okay, Mike? I need this off day.
Yeah. All
right. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're going to try to spin positive,
No.
Just four silver linings or whatever. I'm going to make you do something, and you're going to do it. Okay, I've not been very demanding in my month back here. All right, I haven't been. I think I've been a good teammate. But right now, I'm going to be Russell Wilson run pass. And if you're going to try to present four somewhat encouraging things, I'm going to make you do it this way. You're going to do it in a Reese's Pieces mouth. You're going to do it in a Fista Sister voice. You're going to do it in Tex Toy voice.
Okay.
And I don't know what the fourth one is.
Tex Toy voice is my favorite.
Okay. So you're going to do it one of them in Tex Toy voice. One of them in Reese's voice.
Okay.
One of them in Fista Sisters.
Okay.
And then you can come up with somebody, Justin, help me out with whatever the fourth voice is. All right.
Let me see what I can do here. You need to cut. All right. Let me see what
hey,
I can
96,
do.
Hey, 96, run or pass? I run or pass. Call it out. Run
good
or
idea,
pass.
Good idea, Brock. I
commit
like it.
To
thank
it.
You. Go for it.
All right. I'll start. I'll start with number one. In Reese's Pieces, let's see if I can do this. This is a bit of a challenge that I wasn't expecting.
I know.
Reese's Pieces. We got to get into your voice here. Reese's Pieces. Character talk right here. Tongue up at the roof of your mouth because it's totally full of Reese's. Reese's Pieces. The biggest highlight of the weekend, Brock, was Jared Kelnick. It was great to see him back with a chip on his shoulder. He went 6 of 16 with 4 extra base hits. 4! Okay, a home run that he destroyed, a double that rocked off a wall, another hustle double. This dude played really good baseball.
That's good. That's
how's
good.
That?
Don't exhaust yourself too much, all right?
All right.
You still have a few other voices. How was that?
I thought you said Derek at first, but then I kind of heard the stats in there, and I realized it was Jared Kelnick.
Kelnick went 6 for 16. He hustled.
Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Oh, 425 has the Last Voice podcaster. He does his NPR voice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
That's true.
You got the hard one out of the way first, so yes.
All right, I'm going to take a break.
I know.
That's all I've got.
Gird your loins
today.
A little bit. You could do them a little.
So tired.
No. Do them a little shorter.
Pete like that.
Huh? No, interview no. Pete? Yeah. No. Are you crazy?
No. I'm not, but Jared Kelnick was good. Right. He was Z. You wanted to see him respond, and he did. Okay, so that one's out. Yep.
Look, dude, you made it through 10 days. Now you're going to get Eugenio Suarez back. Okay? Like one of the fist assistants would be very excited. He's played really good third base all year, and he's been a huge, huge, huge part of what you've been doing offensively. So when you get Suarez back, you're not going to be able to play third base just yet. But he moves into the DH spot, which is actually better because it means Jesse Winker is not going to be able to play. Okay? So when you put him in, you know, at DH, now there's no spot for Winker because no way he's going to play left field ever again.
Right.
So at that point, you have actually improved in a couple of different spots. You're better at DH, and you're better in left field. So your whole team just gets better.
Very
and
good.
And that could happen as soon as tomorrow.
Very okay? good. Okay. We got two down. Gosh, this feels good.
What was number three?
First time I've smiled in like 24 hours. So yeah. That's good. Thank you for doing this.
Number three is the podcast voice?
Text voice.
And podcast, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Can somebody send me a mean text here so that I can remember what text toy voice sounds like?
You spit all over the place. You get very, very mad.
I know, but I actually need to see something.
I think you should save text toy voice for the last one.
Okay.
Gird your loins. Give me a little NPR. All right,
well, somebody say something mean to me over the text. 866-979-3776. It shouldn't be hard. You guys do this all the time.
Maura's got the number saved. She'll get on.
Right.
She doesn't need that.
See what you guys could send in, a couple of mean texts.
Kalnick, Suarez is back, number three.
What is number three? Hold on. I got to try to
Castillo?
Remember what all of these are. Well, we're going to get to that. Let's do that next. Okay. You ready? Number three. Yep. You want podcast voice?
Yes.
All right. Luis Castillo is a guy, a pitcher. Now, a pitcher is a player who throws the ball sometimes between 85 and 100 miles an hour from 60 feet and 6 inches away towards a plate. Now, the plate is shaped like a I can't even do it right now. This isn't good. That's not my best. I can do better than
that's
that.
Good. Nope, that's
no,
good.
No, that's not good. It's not great. I haven't listened to a podcast in so long that I'm not able to do the podcast voice.
You were talking
but they
too
signed
fast.
This guy to an $108 million deal for the next 5 years, and yes. It's a good deal.
It is.
It is.
We'll
and
have
for
room
everybody
to talk
out
about
there
that tomorrow.
Saying, oh, the Mariners aren't spending money, this, that, and the other. Well, they just locked up Julio. They locked up their ace. They've got a bunch of young kids that they don't need to pay just yet, and they still got plenty of money to go out and spend this offseason to bring in another bat.
Yep. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
I couldn't keep that in podcast
voice.
So
there's three.
But the Castillo signing is a really good thing. Really good thing and something we should be very happy about.
What was your fourth?
I don't know. I forget. I know I had a fourth, but I'm not sure what it was.
Good.
What was the fourth thing?
I didn't write it down either.
Oh, the mean texts are good.
Yeah, we're getting some pretty solid ones here.
Oh. Well, I guess I could just read mean texts instead if I can't think.
No, do the text toy voice.
Huh? All right, hold on. Let me find the text. Here we go.
The best voice.
Okay. Sock, you are... I can't... Well, hold on. I really got to get into this. I wasn't prepared for this today, Brock. You really...
Sorry. I know.
You really...
But you're
really,
killing it.
Sock, will you quit talking? I can't do it. I can't do text toy voice today. I don't know. I can't do it right now. I don't know what it is.
This one, only because you keep talking about being breasty. The 253 says, I hope the juicing reduces your B cup.
425 says, Pedro Martinez is overrated.
Well, that's not true. I think we all know that.
You're saying mean things? Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. I don't have to. You know what, Brock? I'll just have to practice during the break. See if I can come up. I've lost it. I lost both podcasts. I'm not an impression. I'm not Daryl Hammond, for God's sakes.
Well, all your anger was expressed yesterday. That's part of the problem. You have nothing left in the anger tank.
Ugh.
After the Seahawks, after the Mariners, after the 49ers, you got nothing left. You can't be angry text toys.
Pete Carroll coming up in 20 minutes. I'll try to. I'm sorry. I feel bad. I feel like I failed everybody. You really put me on the spot with this one, and I completely failed. We'll give you what you need to know next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, today is a day where you really, really hate sports. That's how I have felt from the moment I woke up. The whole weekend was body blow, just one thing after another. It just felt like everything kept getting worse and a little worse and a little worse. And the Mariners certainly contribute to that more than anybody. Suffering arguably the worst loss in franchise history. They finished the road trip 3-7, for God's sakes, Brock, playing three teams that were nowhere near the playoff race. So I don't know exactly what's going on. The injuries are obviously a factor. They're playing without their top two hitters. That's not helping. They've got, you know, those two guys who actually play valuable defensive positions in addition to what they do at the plate. That would have been a big deal. Their pitching is tired. But at the end of the day, you're just going to have to suck it up.
Yep.
Right? You get the off day today. You come back to play three more bad teams to finish things off in the last 10 days. You got to just suck it up and do it. I don't care if you're tired. I don't care if you're injured. I don't care if you're in a slump. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to make the playoffs, and you got your last 10 days to figure that out.
Yeah, I think this has been fairly constant in our 14 years of doing this show together off and on, and that is I hold your stars to a different level of accountability. You know, with more power becomes more responsibility. With more talent becomes more responsibility to be the one to pick up the slack. And the 21-year-old phenom in center field has done that time and time again. Obviously, he's been battling it back. And I hope we hear a definitive, clear MRI reading on that at some point this week. But beyond that, Mike, and I know you don't like it when I point any finger at Luis Castillo, but you got a 9-run lead. You're coming out. I know you've been sitting for a while. You know what you don't do with a 9-run lead? You don't walk people. You don't walk people. And there's a walk and a home run and a walk, and you're pulled. And all of a sudden, guys in that bullpen who I'm sure were thinking, great, man, just mow him down, Luis, and maybe we'll go to Flexen. Maybe we'll go to, I don't know, somebody else that you didn't go to yesterday, and Matthew Boyd.
Why didn't they go to Flexen?
I don't know. Why not Matthew Boyd? Why not Flexen? Why not one of those more strike throwers, right, that don't have a tendency, as Brash did yesterday, to just walk when he gets erratic? They didn't go that way, and guys were put in positions I don't think they were ready for. And as Scott Servais said after the game, man, you could never, ever take anything for granted and step off the gas. Yesterday was a tough, tough pill and a tough lesson.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Major defensive issues yesterday for the Seahawks. Gave up 189 yards on the ground. It's tough to do that and expect to win too many games, especially when your team is built around that philosophy, right? You can run the ball and stop the run above all else. The secondary had their issues. That certainly made the problems worse. Look, Geno had his moments, Brock, and I got to give him credit. As you said, he played a really good game, 325 yards or so, but part of the quarterback's job is to win the games late. Pete commented on it at the beginning of his press conference yesterday. Games come down to the final few minutes in the NFL, and Geno, over the course of his career, has shown that that has not been his strength.
The more that we dig into philosophy and we talk to Pete, and we'll do so here in about 10 minutes, I think just a realization, and maybe some of it, Mike, was my experience Saturday night. Here's Oklahoma, number 6 in the country, uber talented. I think they had 43 four-star recruits. 3 5-star recruits. Kansas State at 2 combined in those categories. But you know what Kansas State does? And Brent Venables, the head coach at Oklahoma, said it. He said, we've got to go take this game. They won't give it to us. We got to go take it. And ultimately, when I think of Pete's philosophy, run, play defense, everything he wants the opponent to earn it. And I know when he put that tape on last night, and I know when he rewatched it this morning, the number of gimmies, a gimme 3rd and 19, where you're just not in coverage. You're not on the details. A gimme, 60 yards in 2 runs from Cordarrelle Patterson? A 40-yard run on 18 stretch? What are we doing? We're not making him earn it. We're not making it hard enough. That is the one thing in this philosophy, in this teaching, in the way that this thing is built, man. You may lose, but you're going to go out and you're going to earn it. Way too many gimmies for Mariota and the Falcons yesterday.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Tell you what, the Huskies playing some good football right now. Brock, you pointed out they've yet to play away from home, which is important. But, man, Michael Penix has just been great. Another 300-yard performance from him this weekend, 2 touchdowns. No picks, 161 of those yards go to Rome Odunze, who was fantastic. Huskies are now ranked number 15. They go to UCLA this weekend. Still have, you know, some tough ones left, Oregon State, Wazoo as well, but this is becoming a pretty legitimate story, and Penix himself has just been a huge part of it.
Well, they get this done Friday night, and it's a tough turnaround. It's a night game on Saturday. It's a short week already. Now it's a night game on Friday. It is out on the road. against an undefeated UCLA. It's not a hostile environment by any means. It'll probably be a third full, and maybe half of that third could be Husky fans heading down to the Rose Bowl to watch that thing on Friday night. But you win this thing Friday night, now all of a sudden you become a nice story. You've landed on the national radar. You're sitting at 15. People now know Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer's name. You're starting to hear some traction. But you go beat Chip Kelly. You beat DTR. You beat them Friday night. You get to 5-0, Mike, and handle that business on the road. Now you become not just a local story that the national people know about. Now you become, whoa, this is a national story. And you look at Arizona State, and you look at Arizona, and you look at Colorado, and you look at a bunch of wins on that schedule. And all of a sudden, Oregon State Wazoo become very compelling theater if you get it done Friday night.
All right, that is everything you need to know, and we do that quarter past every hour. Yes, Pete Carroll in just a couple of minutes. I did promise Brock that I think I could get the text toy voice back. It was hard, okay. But I think I figured out the tongue placement for it.
You got a little anger for it?
And I did remember what the fourth thing was that I wanted to tell you about. Okay, and it's Ty France. He's not even playing really well. Nobody notices. He's so upset about Ty France from playing well before, but he is. He had eight hits in the last four games, 8 for 18.
I really hope Pete Carroll's just right next door to you, like, what is happening over there?
Here's what I know. If Denver Sports Radio did what Moore has done at times and tried to peek in, hey, let's listen in. Okay, let's listen to Seattle Morning Radio. We've got Old Testament teaching. We've got Reese's Pieces voice.
You know what, Brock?
Don't you worry about what we're doing, Denver.
When you have a day like we did in Seattle yesterday, sports-wise, you come up with whatever you can to get through the next morning. Text toy voice, the Bible, Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova, Atonement. We do all of those things because you don't have much of a choice. Pete Carroll is next. It is Brock and Salk on Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle's Sports Station.
Well, here we go. Going to finish up another Brock and Salk on a Monday with the coach. Hey. Pete Carroll joins us right now.
Yeah, good morning.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk. Brought to you by Pizza Hut on Seattle's Sports Station.
Coach,
hey, what's up?
What'd you see yesterday?
Whoa, my first impression after the game, with having not seen the film and all that, was that it was a good football game. There was a lot of good stuff. We made a lot of progress, and particularly on offense, we really came to life, and we were balanced, and we worked things out. And Geno played well, and the guys were catching the ball, and we were running the football, and a lot of good things. So I was really pleased with that, you know, scored, you know, a couple touchdowns and got moving, you know. Defensively, we didn't stop these guys running the football is really what it felt like. And they didn't have to throw it very much. And when they did, Marcus did a nice job. You know, he hit a couple big plays and kind of changed the field, a couple really easy ones for us to fix, you know, that didn't have to happen. But their running game really, I thought, was the heart of the day the day's effort for them, and the running back was really something now, and we didn't stop them enough. And so there's some things we have to do to get fixed up, and three games into it, I can see some things differently than I saw them, you know, going in. And now that we have our guys on the field and we see what we're doing scheme-wise and all that, we have to adjust a couple things.
What does that mean, things you see differently than going in?
Well, I wasn't sure, you know, how well we would play some of the blocks and the principles that we're defending and fitting in the runs and all that, and we need to adjust a little bit. So we got some stuff we're going to do.
Yeah, Pete, you know, I appreciate you saying that last week to us, because oftentimes as a viewer we follow the ball and we see the last guy in line and maybe the missed tackle in the open field, which is not easy to do on some of these very talented guys. We don't see the defeating of blocks. And I'll tell you, all my college games this year, it's been a resounding theme for most of the defensive coaches I've talked to, because tackling without being able to practice it collegiately, professionally is hard, and you have to defeat blocks. How did you feel that element of the defense played yesterday?
Well, yeah, you're onto it, because that's basically what, you know, what happens in the running game. You know, guys, they get their opportunities and they have their fits, and then they have to win in their, you know, in their assignments, and so we have to do better there. But that's not just the guys, we have to help them more. And, you know, there's different choices we have scheme-wise and things that we can do. And we just need to fix some things up. I'm not going to go into it any further than that, please. But you're on it, though. That is an issue when you're not getting off the blocks to make the tackle. Then the next guy's got to make it. And so we have to be exactly in the right spots. And we just have to be cleaner and sharper. And we have to help our guys more so with what we're asking them to do.
Are these issues physical or are they communication/mental?
It's a mix. It's a combination of stuff. It's always a combination of stuff. It's not that easy, you know, that it's just one thing. But I said, I need to help our guys more. I'll say it, you know, just coming from me and Clinton and I and Sean and our guys, we know we have to help them in some certain areas and so that they can really be aggressive and really teeing off the way we like them to. Our guys played really hard and they were physical and they knocked the heck out of them and all of that. We were available for it. We got some nice sacks in the game, and some nice stops, but not enough. They were able to play pretty conservatively, and that doesn't open them up for the mistakes that you need to create on defense. So it was hard to get the ball off them.
What is that like behind the scenes? So, I mean, you have some new guys on that defensive coaching staff. You mentioned Sean Desai and Carl Scott, and Clint's in a new position. So what does it look like trying to – I don't want to say go back to the drawing board, but working through it with three guys that you're not as familiar with.
We're way past that. I mean, we spent months together. We're in good shape as far as communicating and making sense and all that. But we had to find out where we were, mm-hmm. and not playing everybody together in preseason enough. We're finding it out, and so we just got to keep growing. It's always this case. This is nothing different. This is always the adaptation that takes place when you see how you come out of camp and you know where you are. So hopefully we can make some nice adjustments and help our guys. And if I just need them to keep playing like they're playing, their effort and their attitude, their approach to it is really right on point.
Well, on the flip side, a week ago you sat here with Mike and I and said, you know, we got to get our tight ends involved. I'd really like to push the ball down the field to DK. We need to just get more plays. I mean, check, check, and check. I mean, Shane, I thought, had a terrific game calling it tempo, mixing that in. Your three tight end package was pretty devastating. DK has a shot down the field. He runs 69 plays, Coach, 9 of 17 on third down. It felt like what you were looking for from that offense and the plan and the scheme, a lot of that came to life yesterday.
Yeah, that's why it was a really good football game for us in making progress. It just didn't turn into a win. You know, we needed the last – it came down, unfortunately, to the last drive. It didn't have to. We should have scored in the red zone a couple times earlier with touchdowns. We were right there and should have knocked them out. And both of them, you know, we didn't convert on the third and three or four or whatever the heck it was. When we had a great day on third down, you know, we were 9 for 17 and really could have been better on a couple more. So there was a lot of positive stuff. You could see us – The impression that I left the game before with Gino, I think you could see. You could see what I was talking about. I mean, he's on his game. He knows how to play the football game the way we want to play. There's plays in there. He's probably got three or four plays he would love to do all over again. That's ball. But we made a lot of progress. We played much better balanced as a team. Special teams was really good against two terrific returners. We kept them out of the game. They did a beautiful job for us in matching that up. Jason kicked the ball really well, kept it away from their returner, and made his kicks. And so there was a lot of really good things. We played a much better football game. We need to finish it off and get our win.
What's your communication like with Gino?
Well, we've been together for a long time, you know, and so we have a real smooth, open, conversation. We don't have to pull any punches or nothing. We're on it. So he's clear. He's poised. I mean, I keep telling you that he's comfortable in the games. He's not having any problem. He still has to deal with the issues. You know, he's developing his way to deal with the issues that come up in a game, so he's smooth in handling stuff. It doesn't affect him because he's got a lot of juice to him, you know, and he's fired up and he wants to go make everything exactly right. So he's dealing with it, and I think he's doing really well.
When you name him the starter, a few going back now a month or so ago, do you sit down with him? Is that a dinner? Do you, I mean, like, what is that process of communication like?
Yeah, it was a, you know, come talk about it in the office and make sure that we, you know, we just face it up and put everything in perspective. It had been a long challenge. It had been arduous and difficult for him because he wanted to just own it from the start. You know, and I didn't let him have that. I mean, he had to go ahead and battle it out and earn it and give him Drew his shot. And so that, and he, it was a, you know, it's a little bit of a celebration, you know, obviously for him, and I was happy for him too and excited. So we went through that and plotted out how we're going to have to deal with all of the issues in the media and all the things. He and I are the ones that have to answer all the questions and stuff, and we had to do a good job of that and working together. And we wanted to really make sure our communication lines were always there and always open.
Did you give him one or two swing thoughts? Like, here's one or two things I need you to do as the starting quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, well, yes. And yes and yes. Yeah, very clearly. You know, and it was about managing the game. It was about making sure he wasn't over trying, you know, trying to be like somebody else or trying to measure up to somebody else's expectations, be the best version of himself, and keep that really solid and intact would give him the best chance. And so that's kind of how we talked. He's really, you know, he's met all the expectations at this point. Need to get that game at the end, you know, somehow. Unfortunately, that we get a hold. It was a legitimate hold on the screenplay. That's the play. It knocks us down to the 8 or whatever. We really were going to go get it done, and unfortunately, we didn't overcome it once we got that penalty.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to have told you, Pete, that 3 games into the season, Geno would be completing 78% of his passes, 78%, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks, a QB rating over 100. I mean, from an execution standpoint, I've told you this analogy before, right? Blacksmith versus artist. And I had a certain coach tell me I needed more artistry. And I was like, I'm just a blacksmith. I mean, you drafted me like I'm there's not much more creativity in art, but I can operate, you know. And right now he is operating. Is the next step a little more creativity when a play breaks down?
You know, we'd like a little bit, you know, where he makes his special stuff happen. But he didn't have to scramble. The protection was so good yesterday. He was in the pocket and solid throughout. I don't think that. I think more than that, we need to understand the opportunities that are there and the choices that he could make, you know, that are really the best percentage for us. There was a couple times there, you know, we went up top and in shorter yardage situation on third down when we were really killing it on third down. I mean, our third down game is the best it's been in a while now. This is the best we've looked. And it's he's following through with the reads and the concepts and the principles. And then we took a couple shots yesterday on those downs and we didn't convert them. Stuff like that, you know, just cleaning a couple choices up during the game and see if we can't, you know, just keep trying to play perfect. You know, that's the whole idea. He's trying to get his perfect game out there and you know, he won't, but that's the way you want to approach it.
How is his deep ball, Pete? Because his intermediate throws, he threw that out route yesterday to DK. I mean, that is a high degree of difficulty throw.
Sure.
I think that wasn't a third down. The one element we haven't seen, which I know you love taking those shots, and I'm not just talking go routes, but just how is his – we just haven't seen as many deep balls from him. How is his deep ball game?
Well, he went up, I think, at least 3 times yesterday. Mm-hmm. In the game, he's solid at it. He is not. I mean, I don't know that there's anybody better than Russell. You know, he was great at it, and that was how he you know, relied on those plays with the, you know, the great touch and all that. We don't feel like that's the strength of our game, that we're trying to just bomb the ball up, but we still want to use the whole field and the crossers and the posts, and it's just like the seam routes that he throws so well. It's not the number one priority for us. It was, you know, that was something we really had to do in the past.
It dawns on me as you're talking through that figuring out what a quarterback is best at versus their weaknesses and trying to build an offense around those seems of the utmost importance. And mm-hmm. I go back even to Russ and when he first got here in 2012, and all of a sudden you're running read option, which was not something that had ever been a part of your life or the coordinator's life really leading up to that. So how much time do you spend on that kind of heading into this season or into each game thinking about Geno in particular?
No, that's a good question, because it is what we have been doing. We've been developing his package of stuff that he can do that he really has confidence in, and we can execute, we can count on. That's the exciting thing that's been happening, is that you could see it coming, that he just kept commanding different aspects of the throwing game and the run checks and stuff. He's done all of that. And it was kind of last week I said, well, screw it, he's got it. He knows what we're doing. You know, we're fine. You know, and we've seen a couple games of him, and we feel good about the prep, and let's go. And that didn't change us drastically. Oh, now we're going to, you know, throw a bunch of this or that. It just was – he had just emerged to me, and let's go. And so I think I don't know that we called many calls yesterday that were any different because of that, but we certainly were counting on him to be able to do stuff, and he did. And so it's hard to be 50% on third down, you know. And we're hitting third down. We're hitting some numbers right now, so that's a big deal for us, and it's going to lead to a lot of success, and it's going to lead to a lot of consistency, and hopefully we can keep it going.
You know, one of the areas you've got some competition and you've got some depth now that guys are getting healthy. Pete is out at the corner position. How would you evaluate their play yesterday in a couple just difficult matchups with Drake London and Pitts are two of the most phenomenal athletes? How would you kind of look at that competition and the play out there on the perimeter?
Yeah, Tariq probably played his best game in I'm looking at the littlest of things, the consistency that he played with. You know, he covers those darn crossing routes. He's been the one that he lays out for and tries to knock it down. He's been covering those in practice. He's picked a couple of them off because he's so fast. And I was surprised that he didn't quite get that one. He's going to knock some of those down. But he did a really nice job in the game. Michael, again, played really solid. I mean, it makes a beautiful play that the two guys both catch the ball in the end zone. You know, Mike caught that ball maybe even first, and they battled to an incomplete. But the other deep ball that they got to Drake was really a weird route. I don't know if you saw it. You know, if you look at it, Brock, he comes off kind of jogging, and he's a little bit inside something, and then he takes off. Mike couldn't tell if it was a run or not. You know, it was a play pass, and they make a great throw. Marriott had to make a great throw. He was under pressure back there, and they convert that one. But other than that, those guys did a nice job. There is an opportunity in the game. I just thought of it. For Woolen, where it's third and 19, and we're rolled up on his side, you know, and they run a little route with a curl route and a corner route in behind him, which is a situation where you play deep to short and you make them throw underneath, and they can't beat you with the curl route, you know. And he got hung a little bit on that one, and that's a play that he played better as the game. They ran it two more times in the game, and he played it well, but it's just first time stuff, you know. And so we're learning, and they'll continue to do well. So those guys are doing well, and really Artie's going to be able to go, I think, this week. We'll see how that all works out, and the competition is on.
Tariq, I think, is my favorite part of this season so far. He's pretty fun.
Yeah,
he's got some, I mean, I know I talked about it a little bit last week with you also, but where is he now versus where he could be by the end of this year?
Oh gosh, he's gonna I would think, you know, he's got to put another week together, and here we go, keep playing really good technique, so they see him consistently playing stuff, so they go, I don't know, maybe we won't try him, you know. He may develop, he could develop, but he's really got to stick to the basics of it, because he's so talented. The basics really set him free. And so
does he understand that?
You know, he does. And he and I have a good line of communication. Carl's doing a great job with him and all that. It's really a favorite of mine to watch this develop, because we really have something special happening here. And the fact that he, you know, makes a pick yesterday, he's got a knockdown on a field goal for a touchdown last week. He's doing things, you know. And so that's what special players do. They find ways to make stuff happen outside of the norm. And so pretty excited about his process.
Are there any other spots where we could see some, I know there's always competition, but personnel changes at some point in the next?
I think you're going to see more of Boye, you know, but he did well again. And he's doing in his spots that we're playing him in, Boye Mafe. Yeah, he played real physical, made some nice plays, holding the edge, missed the screen that happened right there with him. He could have had a chance there. But he needs to play more. And I'm liking Bam Johnson, too. You know, Daryl's, he's done some good stuff for us. A really good football player. We're going to keep finding spots to elevate his play time.
Fair or unfair, Pete, in their different players, somewhat similar length, but Richard Sherman and Tariq. And you go back, and I was saying to Mike earlier, I remember when Trufant got hurt and Richard got thrown in there, and just like, yeah, your eyes tell you this is not too much for him. I know that Richard has been in and around that building. If you were, I guess, to just more document Richard's growth, if you remember back to his rookie year and what that can and could look like with Tariq.
Yeah, Richard won't like that I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When that happened and the injuries occurred, I went back and pulled out all of the one-on-ones that we had on Richard in camp. And just to say, because I think, I mean, we have to make a call here. Are we going to go with him? And he didn't look very good. You know, he struggled, you know, and he made some plays and all, but he was struggling in some stuff. And I can remember that. God dang it. But he's really smart. And, you know, so let's go. And so I didn't know what we were unleashing at the time. I had no idea. You know, I mean, I loved the fact that we drafted him like we did. I like the backstory and all of that. But I had no idea how you know, how smart a football player he was and how wary he was in of situations, and just schematically he understood things, and physically and mentally he was awesome. And that's, that all started to come to life when you saw him play, and the competitor just took him to the top of the game.
What's the biggest thing you can do to start winning, to win next week?
We got to come back and play well again. We did a lot of good things. We did a lot of good things that give us a chance. Let me give you some. Okay, 9-17 on third downs. We had 53 combined runs and completions. 80% chance you win the football game of that. We're plus one in the turnover ratio, 80%+ a chance to win the football game. We did all the things that you need to do to win the game, except we didn't win. So we have to just – I'd like to take advantage of the fact that we can move the football well and get out ahead. You know, let's get ahead by more. And we have to do our job on defense to take care of that. We can't let them run the football like they have. And that's a big deal for us.
189 yards, yeah, was yesterday on the ground. Yeah. I mean, I got to think that's...
That's the key area. We have to knock that down. We've not been like that, and it's something we have to improve at. So that takes a lot of work, but it's very pointed emphasis for us.
I'll ask a question. I already know what you're going to say. But of the three levels of your defense, who's most responsible for stopping that running game?
It's a big combination. I mean, it's everybody. And it is. It's the guys up front play their blocks. They get off their blocks and make their plays. But it's really it's the relative spacing that's created in the running game. You know, guys staying connected to each other. And that's what we have to be better at. And we have to put our guys in the best situation so that they can be successful. And so it's a really clear focus, and we got to get that knocked out.
You want 32 seconds to a little pick-me-up? I mean, sure. We needed a pick-me-up, Pete. This was between the Mariners' meltdown, Cougs' fourth quarter struggle there at the end of the game.
Huskies, though.
Yeah, the Huskies look really good. I mean, they look pretty good. Here's 32 seconds of Steve Rabel on just a tremendous throw and catch between Geno and DK. Something you wanted, and you got to see this big play yesterday.
Geno steps up, waits, throws to the end zone. Oh, what a catch! DK Metcalf! You want a target? You got a target. Number 14 from 18 yards out. A rocket from Geno Smith. And DK climbs the ladder, pulls it down. The Seahawks are on the board again, looking to tie this up at 17 apiece. What a throw, what a catch.
Ready
Thanks,
Raves.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate you. Yes. He's really good, man. He's really good.
Hey, any update injury-wise? We know Shelby was inactive yesterday. Looked like at the end Jordan got banged up a little bit. Anything injury-wise or Neil, anybody kind of – you mentioned Artie. Any other updates in that regard?
Yeah, Homer got hit in the ribs, and he got a little something going on there. We don't know how that's going to turn out, but those are he's pretty sore today. We got to check on Jordan. Didn't come in. He's fine so far. And he and Chandler had a real bad collision late in the game, and they just knocked each other down. Need to see how that is. Is that it? Yeah, that was it. That's all we got so far. So could be a strong week coming back. Yeah, Shelby. We need to see what you know. He's got a glute thing that he's working on. We got to see if he can get back from that.
Detroit next week, right? I mean, it's a team that has been playing.
Yeah, they're on the come.
Football.
Yeah, they're getting good.
What's their secret?
Balance, and the coach has been very aggressive in going for it, and the guys have responded well to it. Quarterback plays really good, solid football. They got a really good runner. Just in the receiver is big time. The Trojan is out there doing stuff. They have a nice team on the rise now, and they're feeling it. They lost a really tough game yesterday, and they really had one. They were in great shape with it. The game, isn't it just amazing? I know you were. I heard you were talking earlier about the end of the game. Man, it is so predominant in this league.
Yeah, I heard you talk about it yesterday, almost at the right beginning of your press conference. And it, you know, Brock and I argued about it a little bit because I get it. Geno had put really good 55 minutes together, A-, B, whatever letter grade you put on it. But this game does tend to come down to those last 5 minutes, and can you put together that final drive?
Yeah, yesterday, I think, I'm not even schooled on the rest of the league much, but yesterday some of the best quarterbacks didn't get it done.
Right,
you know, and it didn't happen, you know. And but that is what overall we count on. That's where they get their, you know, they get their props from, is making those plays and when the times, you know, getting the shortest. I like to play well enough for the team where it doesn't have to be that. You know, let's get up ahead and let's win by, you know, 17 or something like that. And
you go back to college for that. Yeah. You can do that in the college.
That's okay. I can keep thinking. Right? Yeah, you know. I love close games. There's nothing. I got to admit to you, I love close games. I love the finishes and all that kind of stuff. But it'd be okay to win one and get out ahead a little bit.
All right, Coach, we appreciate it. We will talk again next week. Good luck with Detroit. We'll talk to you then.
You got it.
See you. There you go. And we will say goodbye. We will catch you guys tomorrow morning, of course, at 6 a.m. Until then, Brock the Hay.
Oh, it's in the Martin. See you, buddy.
See you, everybody.
Get to the chopper!